Hi, I'm Carmen LaBurge. Thanks for listening to the podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting in what you say. Today is the day. Today is the day. So today is the day. It is May the 7th, and I want to give a little shout out to my husband, who I know is listening right this minute because I have children in the car conspiring with me. So, Jim, my beloved, happy 8th wedding anniversary. It is a privilege and a joy to walk with you, and I look forward to walking with you all the way home to the Father's house. Joining us now is Nicole J. Phillips. You can find her at NicoleJPhillips.com. She brings to us a kindness moment each and every week. And I happen to know that today is her birthday. And so happy birthday, Nicole.
Well, happy anniversary. This is a celebration. I should have had cupcakes for everyone or something.
I'm having a cupcake. You can have a cupcake too.
Okay, good plan. So, listeners, everybody have a cupcake.
That's right. So I have in my hand, because you sent me a gift for your birthday. I mean, you didn't know you were sending it to me for your birthday. But I have in my hand your book, Kindness is Courageous, 100 Stories to Remind You People Are Brave and Kind. Why don't you share with us one of these 100 stories?
Yeah, well, the whole book and the first book, too, which is Kindness is Contagious, 100 Stories to Remind You God is Good and So Are Most People. Both of those books were written to provide a shift in perspective for people, because I really feel like if we can start looking at the things we have to do in life as a delight instead of a duty, it changes us radically. So there's a story actually from the first book called A Football Team to the Rescue that I'd love to share with you. And it came about because in 2007, one of the worst tornadoes in Northwood, it was in fact the worst tornado in Northwood, North Dakota, happened. And an elderly couple's house was just totaled. And so their family was there trying to, just get rid of this rubbish pile and finish demolishing the house. Well, as they started to work, a bus pulled up. It was filled with young, well-rested, very strong University of North Dakota football players. They didn't need any tools. They didn't necessarily have any tools, but those athletes picked up an entire chimney weighing several hundred pounds. They threw it into the pile. They used their bare hands to remove walls. They hauled out furniture and wet carpet. And 2 hours later, those boys disappeared and, never to be seen again. So here's where the duty versus delight comes in. I guarantee you some of those boys on the football team were told they had to be there by the coach, right? And so they're going, I got to go help these people with their hose. And some of those football players, I guarantee you, saw that house and felt gratitude. They felt gratitude that they were strong enough to help, and they felt gratitude that they had a warm place to go home to that night. And it was their delight to help. And that's where the difference between kindness comes in. Is it your duty or is it your delight? Because it makes a world of difference.
Nicole, thank you so much for sharing that. Again, the website is NicoleJPhillips.com. The second book is Kindness is Courageous, 100 Stories to Remind You People Are Brave and Kind. Remind us of the title of the first book.
Yeah, Kindness is Contagious, 100 Stories to Remind You God is Good and So Are Most People. And these are stories that ran throughout the Midwest in newspapers. And just in case somebody wants a book for free, I found out my kindness team is doing a Mother's Day book giveaway on Facebook. So just find us on Facebook at Nicole J. Phillips.
Oh, that's so fun. All right. What a blessing. Hey, happy birthday.
Thank you. Happy anniversary. Have a great one.
Thanks. You too. All right, friends, I got to take a quick break. When we come back, Justin Gibney will be here. He and I are going to have some baby talk, and we're going to talk about the legalization of recreational marijuana and a bunch of other stuff. That's up next on Mornings with Carmen. So Justin Gibney is one of my, he's like a bearer of joy. And he may not think of himself that way, but he brings a smile and delight to my heart every time we have the opportunity to see one another and talk with one another. And I had a chance to greet him a couple of weeks ago at Q Ideas. And so, Justin, it's great to see you. One of the things, or great to talk with you now, one of the things you shared was that your baby boy is just about here. So why don't you share with us, when is your wife due to deliver that baby boy?
Well, good morning, Carmen. So he is due on May 20th, so he could be here any moment. So keep us in your prayers. We're excited
about
it.
If people follow you on social media, I got to tell you, it looks like he could be here any moment.
Yeah. And she certainly feels that way, too. So she's ready. We've been blessed. And so we are really excited about our new addition.
It's so great. You and I could probably spend a whole segment just talking about what it means to be a dad. Maybe as we get closer to Father's Day, we'll save some time to do that, because I do think it's a unique and special calling that men must take seriously. I know you take it seriously. I know your dad takes it seriously. So maybe the next time we talk, we can just focus on that. But today, I would love to have a conversation with you. We have the legalization of recreational marijuana happening across the country. You have a viewpoint on that in terms of the urban community. Why don't you share that with us?
Yeah, well, I'll start by saying I'm not in favor of it at all. And I think in some instances, it's actually kind of the definition of exploitation. So you have people who want to create this new market to make money off of a dangerous product. And so what they do now is they attach something, an issue that people care about, to that issue, right? So you attach that to mass incarceration. So you use the fact that minorities are actually probably overcharged and serve sentences that are too long for marijuana use, and use that as a reason to create a market for recreational marijuana. I personally think those two things are very separate. While we should have thoughtful and fair policies when it comes to how people are punished for marijuana, for having marijuana, that has nothing to do with creating a recreational market. And so the first thing we need to do is separate those two things. The next thing that they do is say, well, we'll give some of the money to education, which should tell you they kind of know what's wrong if you have to do something like that. And to me, really, that's Al Capone handing out turkeys for Thanksgiving, right? It's a toy drive for the people that you've been exploiting and terrorizing, right? It's just not helpful to the community. I think marijuana use, while it may seem harmless, is very pernicious, and it actually hurts the communities that they're saying this is supposed to help. I'm from Denver, Colorado. When I go home, I don't get back much. One of the things I notice is that when you talk about these dispensaries and you know where they produce the marijuana, the neighborhoods where you that are completely smell like marijuana, the whole neighborhood smells like marijuana. Where do you think those are at? They're in the poor neighborhoods. Right. So to paint this as something that helps education, that helps the poor, that helps urban communities is just false. And I think it's intellectually dishonest and unfortunate.
So I agree with you. You are really good at articulating the complexity. And I think that one of the things that many of us are not as adept at is communicating when an issue is complex, and when we are removed because of something, you know, about us. So maybe I am one step removed from this conversation, or feel one step removed from this conversation because I'm white, and I live in a rural community. But silence, my silence on this is going to be viewed by other people as if I am in agreement or concurrence or support. Talk with us about how we can find our voice and the courage to speak when it's something that we feel a little bit removed from, and maybe it's because our political party or our political tribe or whatever is advocating for it, and we want to find a way to speak differently.
Very good question. And I actually think, Carmen, you do an excellent job of this. It's things like you're doing right now, having somebody who's part of that community come in and have a conversation about it so you can understand the complexities of those who actually, you know, are part of the conversation. But I also would say bringing that conversation to people as you are right now and to your community is really important. And then from there, as much as you can, to empower those who are trying to fight for their community in this regard. All those things are excellent. I think you've been a model of that, and I really appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you so much. When we come back, will you tell us about Just Gospel 19?
Let's do it.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. I'm with Justin Gibney from the AND campaign. He and I are going to continue our conversation in just a minute. Okay, friends, welcome back. Continuing my conversation with Justin Gibney from the AND campaign. You should definitely check out what he's doing, his podcast with Michael Ware, and their work at the AND campaign. And really, one of the things that Justin and Michael and others are working on is raising awareness about what the gospel is and what the conversation about justice is and where the intersection of those two things happens. So there was an event called Just Gospel 19, and I'd like for Justin to tell us a little bit about what happened there.
Yeah, so Just Gospel is the brainchild of a group that came together called The Front Porch, and it's ran by Tabidi Anyawale, who's a pastor out in the D.C. area, I believe.
And it's because really kind of a hard time saying Tabidi, I thought I'd let you say it. See, this is the genius of what I do. Thank you.
I probably messed it up, too.
But, no, you did great.
So really, it's kind of a play on words. So it's bringing up the conversation about justice. And some people say that let's just speak the gospel. You know, we don't need any of that justice stuff. Let's just talk about the gospel. Whereas we would say, and I think the folks over at Just Gospel would say, part of the gospel is justice. We know that the throne of God is justice and righteousness. And so we can't talk about the gospel fully unless we're talking about justice too. And so, as you know, with the AND campaign, we talk about a justice and moral order. We believe that that's what the gospel is about in full. And if you leave one of those two out, that you're missing something important. And so what they do for the Just Gospel Conference is they call some of the kind of most articulate communicators, Christian communicators that are kind of up and coming, to talk about different issues that deal with the gospel. And it's a really fun event. Get to see a lot of friends there and people that I'm sure you've had on the show as well.
So on social media, one of the things, if you go to hashtag JustGospel19 and you get to just sort of see what people were saying, not only about the live event, but people who watched it streaming. And there were a lot of, there are a lot of white folks out there who are trying to listen and trying to understand. And I appreciated one guy's post. He said, my 10-year-old daughter was watching over my shoulder as I was watching, this Just Gospel event. And she said, all those people are brown. And he said, and all those people are women. And she said, that is cool. So I do think that, the opportunities, increasing the opportunities that we have not only to expose ourselves, but to expose the next generation to these conversations is going to bring change in our culture. And so appreciate what you guys are doing at the AND campaign and what those guys are doing at Front Porch. And just wanted to be sure that folks knew that was happening.
So yeah, a very important event. We enjoy it. Yeah.
So I feel like you and I have the opportunity to hear a lot of really good people talking about a number of really important things in both the church and the culture. I'm wondering, when you kind of survey the landscape, who or what excites you most when you consider the people who are out there making a real difference in these kinds of conversations today?
Oh, yeah. So this really excites me and encourages me. You know, you have people like Alan Noble, who just wrote an excellent book. Alan Noble is a professor out in Oklahoma. You have guys like Dr. Charlie Dates, who I just was having a conversation with yesterday. These are people who are able to speak to different communities of faith and speak to them in a way that communicates on the level that they're at. You also have people like Jackie Hill Perry, who does an excellent job. Lisa Fields, who runs runs an organization called the Jude 3 Project. So you have these rising faith leaders that are really addressing the spirit of the day without taking on the spirit of the day.
So I'm now having my producer write down all these names so we can just have a lineup, right? I've met Lisa at an AND campaign event, and we've had Alan on, but I don't think I've had Charlie on. And I know we haven't had Jackie Hill Perry on, but you know, part of that is she's kind of a hard get. So but folks will recognize her name from Gay Girl Good God, but I also know she's got a new contract to write some new books. So we're really excited about the way God is using a number of people to not only change the conversation, but change who is in the conversation. And I just think that's really critical and essential. Hey, Justin, what are you talking with Michael Ware about on your podcast?
So we have a lot of stuff coming up. We have some really good interviews, but we'll be focused a lot on 2020 and how Christians, you know, we talk a lot about new Christian politics and just how Christians should be, how we should be viewing politics, because we believe it's time for a paradigm shift. And so we talk to Republicans and Democrats about making sure that they're Christian first rather than being in their ideological tribes first. So it's always partially that, you know, we talk about the president. We talk about what's going on in the Democratic primary. So much to talk about. We're never lacking for topics.
So if folks want to find it, you guys can go to andcampaign.org. You can also just look for Church Politics Podcast, the Church Politics Podcast. It's on, you know, every platform out there. And then I seem to recall you guys have another website that we're supposed to be looking at. Can you remind us what that is?
Yes, that's The Crux and The Call, where we put up a lot of our content. So our civic updates, our the podcast that you just mentioned, Church Politics Podcast, articles, things of that nature, goes on thecruxandthecall.com.
All right. I love that. Hey, Justin, blessings on you and your family as you welcome the new addition. We look forward to talking with you again soon.
Happy anniversary, Carmen. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much, Justin. All right. As you are engaging in the conversations of the day, I hope that one of the things that you hear in Justin's voice is not only a real awareness of what's happening in the culture, but an understanding of himself as an African-American man who is a Christian, who has had the privilege of an education at Vanderbilt and is an attorney and understands this cultural moment and is bringing his life to bear on this cultural moment in a way that honors Jesus. And so each and every one of us shares that calling. We share that burden. We share that opportunity. And if you're not already, you know, a person who is listening to men like Justin Gibney, let me encourage you to begin listening. The only way that we are going to improve the conversation in this country as Christians is for us to be listening more intently to one another, trusting the God who lives within us. The Spirit in Justin and the Spirit in Carmen are certainly in agreement, and we look forward to a robust continuing conversation with him. All right, we are going to go to Breakpoint. This is a really fascinating conversation about healing. I want you to think for a moment if there is something in your life that is broken that you have ever asked for healing by God for. And as you're listening to this conversation by John Stone Street. So I hardly know how to set up the next segment because it's with Peter Kapsner, and he's just fun. So he and I are basically going to talk about really cultural things. We're going to talk about Justin Bieber. We're going to talk about Tiger Woods going to the White House. We're going to talk about Bud Light's new rainbow bottles. And if we have time, we're going to talk about Lauren Daigle. Maybe that will be the redemptive part of the conversation. That's up next here on Mornings with Carmen with Peter Kapsner as we cover 50 Shades of Truth. Okay, so sometimes you guys ask, hey, how can I get to see and meet and listen to these people who I hear on the radio live and in person? Well, my colleague, Susie Larson, is offering a live and in-person event on May the 16th, 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the University of Northwestern St. Paul. It's an opportunity for you to engage in conversation with her, along with Peter and Carolyn Haas from the Substance Church. They're going to talk about how God uses our dreams, desires, and passions to make us more like him. It's an exclusive event that you get dessert as well as a meet and greet with Susie Larson. And so let me encourage you to go to myfaithradio.com and buy a ticket for this exclusive event on Thursday, May the 16th, 7 to 8:30 p.m. on the campus of the University of Northwestern, St. Paul, Minnesota.
Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. You gotta have something.
All right, Peter Kapsner is in the house. He is actually in the studio. That is some, I'm guessing, Justin Bieber music. Matt Reynolds, is that some Justin Bieber music?
That would be Justin Bieber, baby, baby.
Okay,
That is absolutely remarkable. That is absolutely remarkable.
Now, because we want to talk about Justin Bieber, we had to get some Justin Bieber music, which Peter and I, neither of whom are familiar with. So, Peter, why are we talking about Justin Bieber today?
Well, it clearly isn't for the music, Carmen. I just Googled the top 20 songs, and I have to say, in looking through all of them, I have not heard, embarrassingly so, of a single one of them. But I find them fascinating.
98 million followers on social media, and so the fact that we don't know is just telling people a lot about us.
Beliebers. That's what they are. They're all called Beliebers.
I am not one. Carmen,
I have a name. Yeah. Peter, do your followers, do they have some sort of tribal name?
You know, the two of them are voting on it tonight. And so I'll let you know.
Mine do, by the way.
Yeah, they do. What are your followers' names?
So mine is the Carmen Nation.
The Carmen Nation. And see, your name works for that.
Have you been carbonated?
I have not, but I will do that tonight. And like I said, Kapsner, it does not lend itself to any sort of catchy title like Carmen Nation. So, in looking these over, I have never seen any of these songs. They're not even going through my head when I see the title, and yet he's a really fascinating cultural icon, isn't he? I mean, you mentioned 98 million followers, Carmen, and he has regularly been in the news over the last year or two because of his battle with mental health, with depression, that he was very public about, and I think was very invitational to so many young people that are battling similar kinds of things. And then not only that, he didn't go to some sort of self-actualization card or someplace, you know, of maybe just do a journey around the world to kind of find yourself. He really seems, and I will admit, I don't know what your reaction was. I was skeptical at first, but he seems to have a genuine commitment to Jesus and is very vocal about this. In a way that is not cliched, it seems and smacks of real authenticity. So he's at this really interesting intersection where he is in the next generation that cares about authenticity almost more than anything else these days. And he's also has some pretty profound messages. He wrote here just as part of what he put on public here recently. He said that Jesus has given me freedom and the pursuit of getting to know his character, and that is never ending. God's character never changes. He's the same yesterday, now, and forever. And Carmen, that's the language of our faith, that it really seems to have made an impact. And again, I don't want to get on the believer train just now, but at the same time, I'm fascinated to watch it all play itself out.
So we talked a few weeks ago here on the program that I was holding out some great hope that at Coachella, where, you know, these hundreds of thousands of people were going to get together for this music festival in California.
Yep.
And Kanye West was going to be there, and he was going to have this Sunday service thing. And, you know, I'm just talking about the unusual people. And God has, you know, an unusual cast of characters among his followers who are going to reach people that you and I are likely not going to reach. And so I'm really praying that Justin Bieber is able to reach into the hearts and minds and lives of people who, you know, frankly, they're not going to be listening to Mornings with Carmen. And you're exactly right in talking about these latest posts that he's had on his Instagram account. I do think that they are legit. Oh, and my I'm now being told by Peter's peeps, by the way, who are texting me.
Oh, brother.
Peter's peeps are also alerting me that it's not 98 million. It's 111 million followers who follow Justin Bieber on his Instagram account. And he's been pointing his followers to Jesus. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? People who are following us are supposed to be pointing to Jesus and say, hey, if you're following me, you know, you really need to be following him. Jesus is really the guy that this is all about. He wrote, fight for what you love and who you love. Don't let fear and anxiety win. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. He's really adept. I find him to be surprisingly adept at weaving scripture into what he says on his social media feeds. He says, God isn't afraid of your pain and your brokenness. He actually welcomes it. He adds to that, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I'll give you rest. No, not me, he exclaimed. These are the words of Jesus. There's hope, and it's in him. I mean, It's pretty stunning.
It is, Carmen. And you think about, as I think you and I both know, that the church is trying to find itself. And by the church, I mean the institutional church, is trying to figure out how to bridge the gap between the current and the previous generation and the next generation. And you see the numbers, and I'm sure you're familiar with them, where the most common religious affiliation among the next generation of millennials and beyond is none, meaning that they don't subscribe to any sort of religious affiliation. And so you have – I'm always – incredibly mindful about how God's kingdom never ends and that he will find a way and to get his invitation into his kingdom into the world. And again, I'm not going to get on the Belieber bandwagon. This is not about that piece of it, but I do find it fascinating that as the church is trying to find its way into the next generation, you have, what, 111 million followers, you said, of somebody who is communicating the gospel
to
them.
I do not, by the way. I do not have 111 million followers.
Yeah, but can't you tag him, Carmen? Can't you tag him with your Carmen Nation and then they'll all listen to you?
I think that's called trolling or something. I don't really know. I don't think I'm supposed to do that.
Love it.
Here's one of the things that if you Google Justin Bieber and you Google, instead of just songs, you Google worship, he actually like frequently just stops at random locations and starts singing worship songs. He apparently did it in front of Buckingham Palace just randomly when he was in London. He got up at Coachella. And, because he is who he is, he can sort of take over a stage. And he, at Coachella, just started singing Christian worship songs. I got to tell you, if we're going to pray for somebody to be authentically used in culture transformation, maybe we ought to be praying for Justin Bieber.
I don't disagree with you. I think, you and I both know that this journey of faith, and I'm sure our listeners know as well, is filled with ups and downs and mountaintop experiences and valleys. And it's a long slog to walk out life where you pick up your cross and you follow Jesus and you need to be with other people to do that kind of work. And I would love to fast forward 10, 15, 20 years from now and get a sense of, has his commitment even broadened and deepened and matured? And is there still a following that happens there? Because this is one of those circumstances where there is such visibility and there does seem to be an authentic message being communicated that I don't think it's out of bounds at all to pray for a popular culture figure, even though I've never, like I said, known any of his songs. I'm sure if you went back in some of his music prior to this change, that there would be messages within that music that would be, things that would be inconsistent with the kingdom. And yet that doesn't disqualify him. In fact, it's those sorts of places, Carmen, where we look back in our past and are broken from it and move forward into a different kind of future. That really is the heart of the kingdom.
Okay, now, since you used the term long slog, I want to make a transition to the Kentucky Derby, and I want to talk with you about maximum security. Maximum security has now lost the appeal. And so the horse that won the race also lost the race. And I want to talk, a little bit about what we can learn from something that happens in the culture like this. So I don't know, what's your top line read on maximum security's win and loss at the Kentucky Derby?
Well, I don't want to try to force some of the applications of this, but I think about sort of the breathtaking financial implications of what just took place. I mean, he won the Derby, and I'm sure the people who own the horse and are affiliated with the horse were looking forward to millions and millions and millions of future dollars. And in 22 short minutes, as they went ahead and reviewed the video of him veering to the right and taking out some of the other horses, or at least compromising their ability to win the Derby, suddenly it's all yanked away from him. And It was an incredible story. I've never seen anything like it where somebody was disqualified. Well, in this case, a horse was disqualified from the Derby. But I think, again, Carmen, without forcing it, I think it just speaks to the illusory nature of putting your trust in financial realities. And because they can come and go just like that. And they were on the mountaintop, and 22 minutes later, they were in the valley. And I just think that speaks to so many different things that happen to us in our lives.
So you're a better person than I am, because I did force it in my family. So Eliana is learning to drive, and I used this as an opportunity to talk about driving in the rain and what can happen when things are slick and the importance of staying in your lane. And I used it with Matthew, who was preparing for his 100-yard dash at the Special Olympics yesterday, which, by the way, he brought home the gold. Congratulations,
That's
Matthew.
That's great, yes.
His big issue is staying in your lane. And so we used it as an example in our house of the importance of staying in your lane.
See,
so there you go.
You, Carmen, your relevant applications for these things is why you have Carmen Nation. I it's why I only have two of Peter's peeps, because you just bring it home in that way.
Oh, Peter, somebody is offering Casper Nation. No, no, because that sounds like Friendly Ghost.
It does.
And then somebody else is offering up. Maybe we could be called Peter's Readers. And I would just say to that person, Peter doesn't write anything. Okay, let's take a break. And when we come back, more with Peter Kapsner, who needs a name for his people.
Come and move that in my direction. Thankful for that. Such
there
a
you
passion,
go.
Yeah.
Again, music with which I am not familiar. But that's very nice. It's lovely. It's got lovely.
This was the biggest hit of the summer from Justin Bieber.
That's super helpful, Matt. Okay, I guess,
now I'm showing you my true colors, right?
I feel relevant for the first time in my life, yes.
It's called what? What's it called, Matt?
Despacito.
Okay. Peter Kapsner is in the house. He's actually, like, in the studio, and I love that the people on our text line, which if you want to join the conversation, the text line is 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484. Keep your ideas coming for what we are going to call Peter's people group, Peter's tribe. We have a new one in. It's Peter's Peeps. That one sounds tasty. A whole peep.
Yeah,
do people eat peeps in your part of the country? Like, peeps is a thing down here.
No. Yeah, I don't. What would a peep be, Carmen? I'm not even sure I know what that is.
Oh my gosh, it's that marshmallow thing that's then covered with sugar, and they make it a color. And they used to only come out at Easter, but now they stamp peeps out all the time for all kinds of things. There's like gingerbread peeps, and there's like what? This is not. You can get an Inside Out peep who is really a s'more. He has like chocolate inside of his little marshmallow body. Like, I'm telling you, that peeps are a good thing. You could have Peter's peeps because they'd be tasty.
That would be tasty. And you just gave words to experiences I've had in life, and I appreciate that. I didn't know that that's what those things were called.
Oh, they're called peeps. Okay, so let's talk about. I got two things I still want to cover. One is Tiger Woods, and the other is Bud Light. So let's do Tiger Woods first. Tiger Woods tweeted 12 hours ago, "It's an incredible privilege to be awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Considering the recipient's history and what this means to me and my family, it's also very humbling. Thank you all for your support. I hope this inspires others to never give up on their dreams." Tiger Woods at the White House getting the Medal of Freedom.
Yeah, there are so many parts of the story that are worth getting into, I think, Carmen, not the least of which is somebody who, and we were talking about it just with Justin Bieber a little bit, but you want to talk about somebody who fell from grace at the level that he did. I can still remember sort of viscerally where I was when they found him at about 4 o'clock in the morning, and he was completely, not drunk, but he was on some sort of pain medications, and so he got a driving under intoxication kind of arrest. The back windshield of his car was shattered, most likely because his wife had found out about all of his affairs. And as the story goes, shattered the back of the windshield with a 3-wood of Tiger Woods. And then it just got to be one horrific story after another. And it's followed up by he had won the U.S. Open on one knee out in California. He had torn his ACL and continued to hobble his way through the round. And then after that, he had 4 back surgeries. And he went from the heights of power, and his father even declaring that he was going to change the world as a very young boy, to somebody who really was the object of a lot of social scorn, and for some understandable reasons for the way that he had treated other people. And again, it's impossible to read somebody outside just watching the news media, watching the golf tournaments, and it's impossible to read if there's a change. But there does seem to be a softening in the way that he approaches the news media now. There's a softening in the way that he talks about his life. And then he teared up last night at the White House, in which he was given this medal. 4 different golfers have received the medal. It's the highest civilian honor. And so you have the whole story, Carmen, about somebody, can they come back, and what does it mean to come back in life? And you don't hear much conversation about faith in his coming back. So what does that mean? And for the future, I think, could be worth talking about. And then you also have this really interesting thing where so many media figures really revile the president. And I just need to make the qualifying statement that I'm politically neutral, neither Republican nor Democrat. But at the same time, 2 of the top sports figures in our country, and Tom Brady and Tiger Woods, have been at least somewhat supportive of the president. And so that's an interesting conversation, not to mention then the racial dynamics. The president is often accused of being a racist, and now you have the most prominent African-American athlete standing at the White House in support of the president. So, boy, there's a lot of different ways to go, and to watch how this story unfolds in the years ahead is going to be really interesting.
Do you remember I mean, way back when, the I Am Tiger Woods. I feel like it was a Nike campaign.
Yeah, yep.
You remember that?
I do.
I remember at the time lifting that up as an opportunity to talk with young people in particular, you know, what it means to identify as another person. And that for Christians, we have that opportunity every single day. Like, right? I need to be identifying with Christ, and I need to be presenting myself, acknowledging that I am representing him to the world. So I am not Tiger Woods, but I am, as a person saved in Christ and in whom Christ now dwells by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, there is at some level this identification that I have with him as I walk my faith out into the world. So just a reminder of storylines over time related to Tiger Woods. Okay, I want to talk about Bud Light because we don't have much time left. And this is a fascinating story. If right now you were to Google Bud Light, every single news stream has a leading story about Bud Light selling their beer in rainbow bottles in June for Pride Month. Okay, what does this tell you about maybe where we are in terms of an economic moment and the willingness of major companies to bow down to a particular agenda?
Yeah, I think there's two parts of the story here that are relevant, Carmen. First of all, it speaks to sort of the increasing social acceptance of the LGBTQ movement in our country and how it has been normalized over the past probably 3 to 5 years or so, that it's creating a lot of buzz that they're releasing this, but it's not creating a lot of backlash. And this is something that you and I have chatted about. It certainly is something that I've talked about in my class at length, that when you go back over the past 50 years, how often it happens that something that seems shocking in that it breaks the cultural and Christian norms, and it is shocking in doing so, you give it about 5 or 6 years, and it sort of just then becomes almost neutral in the public consciousness. And I remember watching the first episode of the TV show Friends, for example, when it was sort of this pilot episode. It happened at 7:30 at night during must-see TV and NBC, and it was in between, I think, Mad About You and Seinfeld. And so Hallie and I were sitting there watching this pilot episode, and I was amazed at how these young people were talking about sexual things on TV. It was absolutely shocking, Carmen. And now if you go back and you go ahead and watch an episode of Friends, it seems relatively tame. It seems not just normalized, it's just tame. And think about how kind of almost campy it was back at that time. And when we see this too, so that, I think that's one of the things that's interesting, is that it's not creating a lot of backlash because we are sort of maybe in the fourth or fifth inning of 9 innings where the LGBTQ movement is just going to become normalized in part of our country. And having lived in Europe for a while, where they're about a generation ahead of us in some of these kind of conversations and social issues, there's no fuss at all. And I think it would be pretty common to suggest that there's not going to be a lot of fuss about this here within about 3 to 5 years. And I think it really provides an invitation for the church, Carmen, to not necessarily try to fight against all of the social tide, although it's important to do so, but to really maybe focus inward and try to present the light of what a marriage can be. I heard that it's your anniversary, so congratulations on that. And think about what we can do from a family standpoint as well.
So thank you for that affirmation. And let me just, I guess, let's just close with this. As you are a Christian walking out into the world today, the rainbow is a reality, and the rainbow is set in the sky by the Lord our God on purpose and for a purpose. And if you want to be reminded about what the rainbow is really all about, to whom it belongs, and for which it is set in the sky, I want you to go to Genesis 9, and I want you to read maybe for the first time, the story of the rainbow. I know that, like, the Ark Encounter guys at Answers in Genesis, you know, they really want to take back the rainbow. Like, that's a cultural agenda for them. I think that happens one Christian at a time as we recognize what the rainbow really is. All right, we got to take a quick break. Thanks, Peter Kapsner, for being here. We'll talk to you again next week on 50 Shades of Truth. Okay, we got to wrap it up fast, but I want to give credit to those who have submitted so many great ideas. Casper Nation, Peter's Peeps, another vote for Peter's Peeps, Capstones, the Pete Fleet, Peter's Readers, Caps Nerds, Caps. Oh, another one for Caps Nerds. Oh, we got two Caps Nerds out there, and then Caps Nerds Critters. I don't know what Caps Nerds Critters would be, but I guess in all of that, I'm voting for the Peeps. You got to vote, Mr. Kapsner, before we go?
Sounds good to me, Carmen. Love it.
All right. Have a great day. Go.
Thanks for listening to this podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge from Faith Radio. If you haven't, you can subscribe to automatically receive the podcast through iTunes or the Google Play Music app. That way, you never miss an episode. It's also available anytime at myfaithradio.com.